Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And Angie is here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My son needed a major yard cleanup at his new home. We went straight to the Angie website and found a bunch of local, reliable, and affordable pros to handle the job, and one did pronto. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today. The app and website are free to use.
Hello, and welcome to the listeners of the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor is the Martin and Ely Anderson Senior Fellow in Military History and Classics at the Hoover Institution, and the Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. This is the Friday News Roundup, and we have lots on the agenda for today. We're going to look at the January 6th testimony, the Democratic reaction to the Roe decision, and Gavin Newsom in California. But first, let's listen to these messages.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Victor, I always ask you what's on your mind, just to make sure there's anything that we haven't put on the agenda that you have to say. Are things going well for you in California?
I'm in California, so that's an oxymoron of things going well, or paradox,
yeah,
or contradiction, or irony. I'm in my 2 months of long COVID, I'm resorting to quackery now. I said that, and I'm up in the mountains, and for the first time, you know, since I got the acute phase, I kind of canceled everything for 1 week. No TV, no travel, no speaking. I was kind of really busy, and I just was getting worse. So I'm up here at Huntington Lake, California, 7,200 feet, and it's very clear. I'm having a little problem with the oxygen, and I got my taste and smell back this week.
Oh, well, part great.
Of, yeah, I did. Yeah. And I'm getting a little bit more energy every week. My biggest problem, as I said before, is neuropathy, pins and needles, brain fog, and muscle. Anytime I use my muscles, they burn. So that tells me there's not enough oxygen or mitochondria or whatever. So yeah, that's about all I have to say in my increasingly shrinking world. But I have
Maybe it's increasingly expanding and you just don't know it.
I get a lot of nice letters. There are two kinds. One, something like, I'm 95 or 120 years old and I had COVID for 2 days and what's wrong with you? Or you should try this concoction. And usually the concoction is something I've already tried. So yeah. I've using myself as a lab rat on various concoctions of supplements, vitamins, et cetera, et cetera. I've been really busy. I'm reading right now my angry reader letters, you know, hatred. And some of them are, I'm just got them this morning. Conservatives like you, Mr. Hansen, are the scum of the earth, worthless piece of trash, F you, but they spell it out, of course. Next one. I cannot wait, Mr. Hansen, for all the women to close their legs and tell you degenerates to go F yourself or your,
wow,
or your Republican male buddies.
That's and crass. I don't
it's
know.
It's the typical left. We're going to talk about the left if you live in today. I have... The left is something else. It's it's not just in Hinge. It's the real insurrectionist party. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, so let's look first at the January 6th committee. And I have a few questions about that. I know we had the recent testimony by the aide to Mark Meadows, Trump's chief of staff. And her name is Cassidy Hutchinson. And she has said that Trump wanted to give another speech in front of the Capitol, and he wanted his driver to go back to the Capitol, and he tried to take over the driving wheel, or at least made some gesture towards that. And so her testimony was, at least according to left sources, devastating for Trump and Trump supporters. And I was wondering, what were your thoughts on that?
I'm skeptical. I mean, this is over 2 years. So I remember the Adam Schiff bombshells about the, remember Trump is all through because the Alpha Bank was pinging and connecting with Trump Tower. And that proved he was a Russian agent. And then I remember, my God, Papadopoulos has been arrested. That's the end of Trump. And it went on and on. So, yeah, I mean, hearsay is permissible in depositions and in inquiries, and we need all the information, but it shows a raw, crude Trump, if these accusations were true, that he jumped across the seat. I guess you can get in the back seat. I've ridden in the airport, you know, to a speaking engagement where they picked me up in an SUV like that, not as big, I guess, as the proverbial quote-unquote beast, but it would be impossible for me to jump over and grab the wheel or even... It wouldn't work. So then she said she heard the story. Okay. Well, if you heard the story, then why would the committee, I don't understand, the two Secret Service people in the car and the person she said she heard the story from, who heard it from them, why wouldn't they have those people there in the committee? And two of them have already testified. So why wouldn't they have asked them? Well, she says that she heard that Trump tried to commandeer the car and struggle with you, and you were there. So is that true or not? And they had them, I guess, at least one of them. And so Liz Cheney really disappointed me. I mean, gosh, not that I expected much at this point, but why would you bring a witness in and have her give hearsay testimony when you already had the actual players in the drama before your committee in closed session? And they testified, and you wouldn't ask them or bring them back in. So I am perfectly willing to believe that Donald Trump fired Bill Barr in a very rude manner. I'm perfectly willing to believe that he threw something against the wall. I do not believe that he tried to commandeer a big security car and drive to the Capitol and then, I guess, you know, whip up people. He actually called for more security. So I don't know what's going on other than this. This is the logical trajectory of a committee where you don't have dissenting voices. This is, they get angry about the use of show trial. This is a show trial. It's all been scripted by a showman, Hollywood producers. They were the ones that picked the explosive moments. They're the ones that give the talking points every morning to CNN and NBC and the network news and NPR. They send them out. Watch out for this today. And there's nobody to dissent. There's nobody to say, now, if you had a Republican, they were all kicked off. Well, they say, well, they're not kicked off. They just couldn't participate if they didn't meet the criteria. And the criteria for Nancy Pelosi was, did you vote for Donald Trump impeachment? Were you one of the 10? Or are you inert and you're not going to be viable in the fall? If those aren't true, I don't want you on here. And so my point is that if you don't have a dissenting voice, somebody, a normal Republican, would say, wait a minute. I was there when we interviewed Cassidy. And she said this, and then we went right over and brought in the people, and they testified that that was not true. That's what you would expect, see? But there was nobody there to do that, because that's not the purpose to find the truth. It's a show trial to show everybody that the person is guilty so that he's not viable for a second term. I get that. But don't pass it off as if, you know, that it's a regular trial. Let me put it this way, Sammy. Just to everybody take a deep breath and imagine right now that the Republicans are having a, they've just won the House in enormous fashion. It's February 2023. McCarthy has made a special select committee to investigate the quid pro quo Biden corruption family. And so, any case, he's done that. And he's told the minority leader, if it's still Nancy Pelosi, we don't want any member of the squad. Adam Schiff's not going to be on this committee. In fact, we don't want anybody that has been a vocal anti-Trump supporter. We'll find somebody that's permissible, maybe one or two of your Democrats, and we'll put them on if they agree that the Bidens are corrupt. And then what you would do, the first witness would say, my God, Joe Biden called Hunter and told him that he was in the clear. And he had inside knowledge about Hunter and the Chinese, and the Chinese had been facing an indictment, and they got off and they were going to spill the beans and they were paying money. And I heard that in that testimony. And then another one said, you know, I was Ashley Biden's roommate, and she told me, well, she didn't tell me, she told a friend who told me that Joe Biden showered with her when she was 10 years old. And that's what I heard. There's no Democrat to say, come on, this is cheap. This can't go on hearsay. Come on, I know it's not a trial, but come on. And then we went on, and we went through the crack pipe. We went through the diary. We went through the laptop. Joe Biden was just said that he gave, $100,000 to Hunter Biden when in the time formula looks like it was right when he was being shaken down and had no money. I don't know how he had no money. But he was being shaken down by a Russian dash or Ukrainian prostitute, and he needed money. So Joe sent him, I don't know, $100,000, some of the reports said. So then in this hypothetical select House committee, then a Republican with no Democrats to object would say, did Joe Biden pay taxes on that? Because you're only allowed to give, I think it's $17,000 a year for a gift to anyone, including your own son. So did he declare that? Because that's been over three years ago. And then I want to find out, I'm going to bring in the IRS. We'll look at his tax return. That's a felony. And that kind of stuff is what I'm getting at. You can make anybody, I'm not saying that Trump is not crude and callous and all that, but you get a committee of one-sided partisans that have an agenda to destroy a candidate, and you have no dissenting voices, and you put them in the hands of a Hollywood producer, and this is the kind of stuff you get. So when Chris Wallace, I mean, just think of it a minute. Chris Wallace is gaga. Chris Wallace left Fox. He's disappointed at CNN. He's now on, oh, wow, look at this. National Review, Ed Whelan. Oh, look at this. So Bill Kristol, this is damning. I heard all of that during 22 months of Robert Mueller. When Vindman came in and said, oh, my God, I heard him say that he wanted to find out what the Bidens were doing and he might have held up critical aid to Ukraine. And then, you know, we had the impeachment, and we found out that Vindman had been in contact with the so-called whistleblower. Both of them had been in contact with Adam Schiff, and Donald Trump had delayed but not canceled offensive weapons, which Barack Obama and Joe Biden in that administration would not send. And then we found out more subsequently about Ukraine and Hunter Biden. And it turned out that Hunter Biden was utterly corrupt. Many members of the Ukrainian government were corrupt. People at the Brookings Institution, including the director, have been alleged of being corrupt. There were people who concocted the dossier at the Brookings Institution. There were people who transmitted and who testified during the impeachment connected to it. So we could do all of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm underwhelmed. Look, because I'm underwhelmed for another reason. I go into my hometown and I see all these people that can't afford gasoline. I go into this supermarket. I'm about the only non-Hispanic guy there, and nobody can afford meat. And it's really sad because you look at these beautiful cuts of steaks and they're not there anymore. There's not ribeye. There's sirloin and New York cut. And they're always at the last possible date, you know, that people are waiting. And if they turn a little bit brown, maybe they'll put a discount on them.
Okay. This is not important to the everyday lives of people.
No, I don't.
But can I ask you one more question about it, even though it's not? I haven't heard you talk about Liz Cheney leading this whole affair. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, Liz Cheney voted 93% with the MAGA agenda. She was not a never Trumper. She's the only House representative in the state of Wyoming. The name Cheney is a brand. She was treated very well by the Republican Party. She was the minority whip. I think that's third highest in the Republican Party in the House. I have no doubt she felt that Donald Trump was an insurrectionist. Okay. But she could object to that without jettisoning her criticism of the liberal progressive left-wing project that's wrecking the country. And by that, I mean, while this is going on, we don't have a border. There were over 45 people killed on the border in a truck that were suffocated. We had 3 million people come in without vaccinations or tests during a pandemic. You can't get, if you go to a store in Selma, it's hard to get a tampon or baby formula. Where are all these poor people going to come? Our poor people can't even get, we have homeless, 600,000 homeless people in the streets. She's not worried about the border. She's not worried about what Joe Biden did in Afghanistan and what's going to happen with the loss of U.S. deterrence, as we saw in Ukraine. She's not, at least she's not talking about, about you cannot walk after dark in about 20 major cities without due threats to your life. She's not talking about stagflation and the worst inflation in 40 years. She's not talking about a non-compos mentis president who's polling out about 35%. We're in a crisis.
Yeah.
And what is she talking about? She's angry that Donald Trump had this rally with his buffoons and the guys with the cow horns. But she's not talking also, Sammy, about May 31st, 2020, when a huge crowd torched a historic church, St. John's Episcopal Church, tried to break out of Lafayette Park, get into the White House grounds, sending the Secret Service and the President of the United States into the basement. She's not talking about torching a federal courthouse. She's not talking this week about a mob of 7,000 people trying to break in to the Arizona State Senate House while it was in session. When she tells me that this is the most grievous act against an American institution in history, I'm saying, okay, then get your committee and let's see if that's true. Let's look at all the violent acts that burned courthouses and police precincts and tried to storm the White House and tried to storm a state legislature. Let's get them all out there. But she doesn't want to do that. And the why? Okay. Because she made a strategic, terrible lapse. And that is, when you're an elite and you tweet or you issue a statement about how awful Donald Trump is, he replies in kind. Mm-hmm. And it's like saying, you know, oh, look at those big time wrestlers. They're so dirty. And he says, I've been in the ring, get in there with me or don't make fun. And then he starts attacking her.
Yeah.
And she didn't think that anybody would say things about her the way he did. And pretty soon, she got angrier and angrier, and she started to devolve into a one candidate. And I am the person that voted to impeach Donald Trump, and I hate Donald Trump, and I think he wrecked the Republican Party. However, I voted 93% with him until January 6th, but now that cancels out, and I can't win in Wyoming because I'm going to lose the Republican primary. So I am going to appeal directly with two strategies. I'm going to get national funding because the big money in Wyoming won't back me. And I'm going to get it from all over the United States, mostly from the left, who sees me as a useful tool against Trump. And then I'm going to beg left-wing Democrats, which are about 25% of the electorate in Wyoming, and maybe they'll all join over and vote for me, and I might beat this Republican candidate.
Who's so she thinks this is her last stand.
She does, and she's going to be defeated. She's furious about it. And then when she has been the belle of the ball of the Adam Schiff committee, then Roe versus Wade comes down. And then she's in a dilemma because she spent her entire life either arguing that abortion is sinful and wrong or that it should be revert back to the states, either one.
Yeah.
And now she's articulating that to her credit. And guess what? They're saying to her, shut the blank up. We find you useful for one purpose, but we don't find you useful for anything else. We don't like the Cheneys. We called your dad a fascist, a Hitler, a war criminal. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, I spent a lot of my time trying to defend Dick Cheney because of the character assassination they leveled at him. They were horrible to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he made a principled defense of Scooter Libby, whom we know was set up by the late Colin Powell and his team, who knew in advance who that leaker was in that case, who leaked the information about Valerie Plame's husband, et cetera, and her status as well. So my point is that she put herself into a corner. She can't get out and she's doubling down. She should have just said this. I support MAGA. That's why I voted 93%. I'm a rock solid conservative. I think Donald Trump should not have urged on that rally. People got out of hand. It reflected poorly on the party. I agree with Mike Pence. It was overdone. And this is a symptomatic of a lot of my concerns about the May 31st riot at the White House, about the summer of 2020, burning police precincts, assassins showing up at Supreme Court justices' homes, all of this. I want to condemn it all. And by the way, this Democratic administration is ruining things. That's all she had to do.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what David, or my congressman did, David Valdeo. I mean, he was one of 10 people who voted to impeach Donald Trump, and he didn't retract it. And he's in a plus 6 or 7 Democratic congressional district. And he had a MAGA candidate running against him in the primary. And guess what? Mm. He won.
Did he win?
Valdeo won. He's going to be in a runoff with a hard left candidate. And I think he's going to win because all the Republicans that are furious about what he did are saying to themselves, well, he didn't double down. He didn't flip over. He'd let it go. He's not obsessed with it. You can argue with about him. He'll say he had a difference of opinion. But do you want him or do you want a hard left person? He has a good chance of winning that seat for the Republican.
Yeah. I have one more question on that before we go to messages. Small question. I read left-wing papers and journals, if you don't know this, before I talk to you. And in one of these left-wing newspapers, the columnist wrote that Kevin McCarthy refused to appoint Republican members to this. And so he blamed he's the whip for the Republican, the GOP.
He's the minority leader in the House.
Yeah. And he was supposed to provide names for this
true.
Committee, but
true.
That's what they suggested. Oh, okay.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It has a shred of truth. But when you have a select committee, the Speaker of the House appoints, I don't know whether it's 5 or 7, or it's a one majority advantage. And then he or she turns to the House minority leader and says, give me your slate. Unless a person is a convict or is under federal indictment, they always accept the minority party's nominees. Okay.
Yeah,
this time, McCarthy gave people who were interested, like Jim Jordan and others. And Pelosi said to herself, oh, my God, if we let these people on this committee, they're going to want to expand it and look at other attacks on federal property. They're going to do what they did during the impeachment. They're going to push back. I don't want that. I want a show trial. So I'm going to tell, for the first time in modern memory, the House minority leader, he can't appoint whom he wants. And that's what she did. He didn't say he wanted Liz Cheney and Kinzinger. He didn't say that. McCarthy. She appointed them. She said, I can find two Republicans. That's all she could find that were willing to serve. And guess what? They're both inert. As I said, I use that adjective for the fall, and they both voted to impeach. So it has no credibility. It was, it would be, I shouldn't say it was going to be. This is what I don't understand, Sammy, because in November, the Republicans are going to win back the House, and then they're going to dominate it in January of 2023. And if they're Old Testament Republicans, they're going to say, you know what? You people burned down all of the rules that protected the minority party when we were there. So here's what we're going to do. There's not going to be one squad member on any select committee. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not going to allow them to point out. So Nancy Pelosi, if you're still in the House and you're a minority leader, don't send me AOC's name for anything, because I'm not going to allow her to be on a committee. And then Kevin McCarthy is going to go up to Joe Biden and said, you know what? I am so sick of inflation and stagflation, and I'm your lies and lies and lies about every single thing, that we have lower inflation of Europe. We don't, that you did all you could to increase energy. You didn't. So when you hand me that State of the Union address, I'm going to tear it up on national TV. I want to warn you. That's more than Nancy Pelosi did. And then Kevin McCarthy said, you know what, Nancy, I'm going to have about 10 committees, select committees, and they are going to look at Hunter Biden, Ashley Biden, Joe Biden, and they're going to look at the whole border and see Mayorkas. We're going to impeach him. We're going to see, call in all, we're going to call in the entire hierarchy of the FBI. We want all the communications between them and Merrick Garland. What were they doing with a SWAT team?
Victor, I'm outraged as much as you are, but I hope they don't go through all of this, because they won't have time to do work to save the country.
No, they won't. That's why I'm not sure that I want that to happen either. But I don't know how you make these people stop, because they're insurrectionary. Yeah. If you just take the Supreme Court, just think of it. As long as I have been alive, it was the pet of the left wing. Once Earl Warren was appointed by Eisenhower, and you got all of these Republicans on there that in the water of Washington, they became different fish than they used to. They swam differently. So you had Earl Warren and Potter Stewart and Justice Stevens. And then we went in with David Souter and Anthony Kennedy and all of these people. And they became left-wing in addition to the old left-wingers that the Democrats had put on. And so it was a left-wing court, and it's established this precedent that we're going to override the legislature or ignore it. Same with the president. And whether it's Miranda rights, pornography, all the way up to gay marriage, affirmative action, by fiat, we're going to make law. Proportional representation, Title IX, disparate impact. We're going to recreate create those laws, either one. And they love the Supreme Court.
Okay, hold on a second, though, because we've forgotten my messages. So let's go for some messages and come back at this. Love the Supreme Court.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. And Victor, you were just talking about the left loved the Supreme Court. And so please go on.
Well, they loved it because it made laws and it was left wing and it changed America. You couldn't have a moment of silence in a first grade and have a prayer. You could use race to discriminate in a positive, quote unquote, way. You could have pornography on cable TV right in your home. Marriage didn't mean man and woman, unlike Barack Obama, who ran on that. So my point of it is just, that's what they love. And then guess what? Donald Trump did something different. He just outsourced all of his selections to whom? He did it to the Federal Society, and they were real constructionists. So there were no more David Souters. There were no more Sandra Day O'Connells. There were no more John Roberts. I mean, there were a few Bush. I mean, Scalia was very good, and so was Alito. But if you just think about it, Harry Blackmun, William Brennan, Anthony Kennedy, Sandra Day O'Connor, Lewis Powell, John Roberts, David Souter, John Paul Stewart, Potter Stewart, Earl Warren, what do they all have in common? They were all Republican left-wing appointments, or they went left-wing at time. It's not quite fair to Kennedy and O'Connor, but they did at time. So my point is this. They loved it. And now they, like a little 15-year-old, 14, maybe a 9-year-old that some didn't get his, you're going home with his parents. I want an ice cream cone. No, you can't have one. We haven't eaten dinner. I hate you. Well, that's what they've done now. So now what have they done? Elizabeth Warren, the law professor, said we should pack the court. Did the Republicans ever do that? Did they say, oh my God, these people are apostates. Let's get, as soon as we get in, George Bush had a supermajority. I mean, he had majorities in the House and Senate. Why didn't he put in 15 judges? And he could have really packed the court. Why did they start leaking confidential memos? Why did they do that? Nobody's ever paid a price. That's a felony. Why do they show up at the homes of Supreme Court judges? That's a felony to try to influence a decision. And what if people had been leaking all about the gay marriage or the Obamacare ruling in advance to get the right all wired up to protest? What if a bunch of right-wing people had been sitting outside Sotomayor's house all this time? What if they were talking right now about packing the court when they take power? And then an assassin right near Kavanaugh's home. So they have really ruined the court. They have destroyed it. They did, not the right. The right's, it's a federalism project. It said, you know what? I guess what they said is, we don't know whether it's moral or amoral at what period in a person's pregnancy a person has a right to abort it when the fetus is viable. We don't know that, or we don't claim that we have the ability to know that, but we're going to let the people decide. So go back to the states and do that. And then all of a sudden, like these crybabies, they're so inconsistent. Remember sanctuary cities, Sammy? They said, oh, the federal government, it's got these horrible immigration laws. We're going to violate them, nullify them. 550, ha, 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 jurisdictions, Fresno County, ha, 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 you know, in Nevada, Massachusetts. You can't, if you're an ICE officer, you can't deport an illegal alien who's in jail when he's released. Ha, 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 we nullified federal law. And they were states' writers, George Wallace types, to get the federal government out of it. Now, all of a sudden, what is Elizabeth Warren saying? Let's put abortion centers on federal property, military bases, national parks. We believe that states don't have any rights. We'll violate state law. So there's no, what I'm getting at in this windy manner is there's no consistent view. It's like an adolescent that cries and cries, you know, Kenji Brown, she's a black proud woman. And they were rude to her when she was up for confirmation. And that's just, they're racist and they're mean. Well, did anybody believe that she was treated like Brett Kavanaugh?
No.
Does anybody believe that you should believe anything they say about the filibuster? Remember Barack Obama? I mentioned that with Jack, hijacked the funeral oration. And what did he do? He said that the filibuster was a Jim Crow racist relic. This is a guy that filibustered Sam Alito. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hillary Clinton, all of a sudden, look at elections. You know, Donald Trump challenged elections. Okay, he challenged the validity. I disagreed with him about that. But he did.
Stacey Abrams did too.
She was announced that she was the governor for a year. And remember, Trump had at least he had a point that Mark Zuckerberg had put $420 million in to warp precincts. And there was 102 million people who voted not on election day. And they changed the voting procedures and balloting protocols in about 9 states. But what did Hillary say? She said he was an illegitimate president, and she told Joe Biden, do not concede if you lose the popular vote. Don't That's do right. it. Remember Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter, you said, he's illegitimate. The Russians own him, basically. So that's all they do is challenge elections. They had the every Hollywood two-bit third-tier actor telling Republicans electors on those awful commercials, don't vote what the Constitution says you have to. What's your conscience?
So what's the point, though, that the Democratic Party has a culture of whiners?
No.
And it's dangerous?
That's a minor artifact. The Democratic Party, like all leftists across time and space, believe that they are morally and intellectually superior to everybody else. And therefore, remember this, they feel that their superior moral and intellectual agendas, the ends, they naturally justify any means necessary to get to them, even if they're hypocritical, even if they contradict themselves, even if they have to use violence, even if they have to go to a Supreme Court judge's home, even if you're Chuck Schumer and you said, you don't know what's going to hit you, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, they don't believe that there's any restrictions on their methodologies because they're ultimately so smart and moral, they're doing it for us. It's like John Kerry saying, I got to get on that private jet and burn a lot of carbon fuels to save you stupid people from yourself. Or it's like, you know, I was looking back in 2009 to 16, you know what they talked about? The blue wall. They love the blue wall. You would read articles and say, well, or I hear people on TV, I don't think the Republicans realistically can win another. Not only do we have a demography as destiny change in the American population, wink, nod, we let open the border. But we also have the Electoral College, and the left is going to start off with Illinois, New York, and California. They're solid blue states. And we are flipping Nevada. And we are flipping Arizona even. We're flipping Georgia even. We've already flipped New Mexico and Colorado. And so they were bragging about demography and flipping, but they weren't talking about popular votes, even though they had won them. They were talking about the Electoral College, which they love. And then all of a sudden in 2016, it crumbled. And all of a sudden, it was an ancient relic of a bunch of old white racist founders. And that's how they operate. Everything is fluid. It's up for grabs because they feel they have to have power to enact change for the other person. And when you see how they're treating Clarence Thomas, I mean, there were five justices who voted formally to overturn Roe versus Wade, right?
Yeah.
And Clarence Thomas did not write the opinion. That was Sam Alito. So why did they go to Clarence Thomas's home? Why did all of these upper-class white women and protesters, college-educated people, they swarmed his home? Why did they use the N-word on social media? Why did they attack him? Why don't they attack Alito? Why don't they attack Gorsuch? Why don't they attack they attack him more than anybody? And because deep down inside, they have crafted this racist, condescending message because they're not comfortable with people that are not elites as they classify themselves. And so they create this whole constructed identity that we help Black people as long as they listen to what we say. And when somebody doesn't listen to what we say, he's ungrateful.
So they're more angry. And they hate
them. Yeah, they hate him. They mm-hmm. hate them because he didn't toe the line. And they're privately, they go home and they say to themselves, after all what I did for Black people, and here was that Clarence Thomas, and he's no better than a white right winger. That bastard, how dare he do that to what I've done for him? That's how they think. And they mm-hmm. think that way because they don't want to be around people other than themselves because they're snobs. Yeah. That's the left, always been that way.
Well, Victor, I think you've dissected the Democratic movement pretty well with the current events that have been happening recently. Let's take a moment for some messages and then come right back and we'll talk about Gavin Newsom in California.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back, and Victor, your own governor is, well, the news this week is that there's speculation that he might run for the presidency. And after this disaster in California, I'm sorry, I just can't believe it. But what are your thoughts on Gavin Newsom?
Well, I drove up on my escape, my 1 week a year escape, and it was 106 degrees. And we're in a very bad drought. And we had the wettest December on almost on record. And there's no water anywhere. The reservoirs, except for Huntington here, are mostly empty. We had passed a ballot initiative years ago to build three reservoirs. He didn't do any of it. Either did Jerry Brown, but he didn't. And then I just got back from Stanford University. There was no power on campus for 4 days, or at least not full power. And we're going to have brownouts. He wanted to decommission our one nuclear power plant that produces about 10% of our energy. And now he's decided to hold that off. I'm up here right now and I'm looking at this beautiful forest, half of which is burned because he had a left-wing policy that you let nature deal with drought-stricken trees that were vulnerable to beetle infestation. So when these trees started dying, the last thing you wanted to do was to allow the timber companies to come in and harvest and cultivate the brush and get it out and then get low-cost lumber in great amounts for the middle class that would like to build in these vast open spaces in California. You wouldn't do that. So whether it was water, no. Transportation, no. He didn't do anything with the 99. He didn't do anything with I-5. He didn't do anything with 101. There's still death traps. He did do something and kept wasting Jerry Brown's multi-billion dollar Stonehenge mass transit. So what has he done? I'll tell you what he did do. He didn't do anything about homelessness. He did allot $500 million to help illegal aliens during COVID. And by that, I mean not having them tested or vaccinated. And now what is he doing? He wants to give everybody $1,000 plus, everybody who fits his socioeconomic profile. And that's going to help you pay for gas. And if you work out the amount over the year, I mean, it's about, I don't know, $90 a month. Everybody fills up once a week. So if you've got 20 gallons for a small car or medium-sized car, and you're paying almost $7 a gallon, it's $140. You're doing that, you know, four times a month. So what is $100 going to do? It's not going to do much. But what would do something, California has the fourth largest oil reserves in the United States after Texas, I think North Dakota, New Mexico. And it's sitting on top of oil. It always has been. During World War II, I think we supplied 10% of the United States energy needs. And we have, I think we're number seven. We've got almost 2 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And we import both from places like Saudi Arabia or Alaska. He didn't do any of that. I mean, there's no new offshore drilling. There's no new Monterey Shale exploration and tapping. But there is $1,000 to burn a hated fuel that he hates so much that he won't produce it and he imports it. But he wants everybody to buy more of it. Or at least, I guess if you get $1,000 to fill up, you'll fill up more. That's the idea. He doesn't even have the principles of his own ideology.
Can I just add something here?
Yes.
Anybody who earns over $250 will get a $200 check. That's just insane. Yeah, if you make $250,000 or more, you're going to get it, or not more, but some at $250,000, you'll get a $200 check.
Well, I mean, and he's headed with a rendezvous with a disaster because this economy is headed for a recession if it's not already in one. And one of the big losers will be capital gains income to the state of California from high tech, because their stock value has been going down. And so there's not going to be a lot of people that want to sell stock at a low price unless they think the company's going under. Yeah. And I don't think their capital gains revenue is going to be that good. And he's driving out almost everybody he can out of state in the high income. And we're already down to about 1%. I don't know what it is. 160,000 households pay half the income tax. And so we'll see. We'll see. But he has been a dismal, ineffective governor. And one of the reasons why, Sammy, is he fits a particular profile that I've kind of worn out in ranting about. And if you look at Barbara Boxer, our former senator who's now in Rancho Mirage, and you look at Dianne Feinstein, who until recently commuted between Presidio Heights and her estate at Lake Tahoe, and if you look at Jerry Brown, who's ensconced in Grass Valley, and if you look at Nancy Pelosi, who is also in a Tony neighborhood of San Francisco. I don't know whether it's Presidio Heights or Pacific Heights, Knob Hill, whatever it is, and her big Napa palazzo. So there you have it. And then you have Gavin Newsom. Remember, he was late paying his property taxes, but he had two big mansions. It was one in Fairfield. I think there were five or six. So what do they all have in common? Well, they're all from Northern California. They've all either inherited a ton of money or they had Chinese connection. I think Barbara Boxer is a semi-lobbyist for the Chinese government. Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy as her chauffeur, and her husband, late husband, became fabulously wealthy from investments in China. I don't know where Nancy Pelosi made her money other than Paul Pelosi, who was just arrested for drunk driving in his Porsche. That's a big EV vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah.
He had a lot of real estate success that I think was predicated, as most observers have argued in print, on specialized knowledge from his wife about where federal money would be invested in California and elsewhere in the West. My point is this, that we have all of these left-wing, wealthy, privileged people, no children in the public schools, no Neon or Civic or Camry driving down the 99 at 107 degrees, never been on a tractor in their life out on the West Side, don't run a small little barbershop right next to somebody defecating on the streets of San Francisco every day or at Venice Beach. I could go on, but they don't live the life of the people that, whose lives they direct and govern and ruin. And it's all predicated on, I'm going to have so much ice cream in my Italian freezers during COVID, and I can sneak out to the French Laundry whenever I want and get a $500 dinner or get my hair done when everybody else can't. And I just live that way. And that's just the way I am. And that's how they act.
Yeah.
And so it's no wonder they screwed up this state. And you know what? We deserve it. We voted them in. They ruined our forest. They ruined our energy. They ruined our water. They ruined our schools. They ruined our transportation. They ruined our public safety. They ruined everything. And they did it in about 30 years. But it was a shift from power to LA to this Bay Area elite. And they were indirectly the products of a constituency that had, as I said, $6 trillion in market capitalization. And so we turned, really, the people who are running the state is where the money is. And that is the Facebook, the Google, the Apple, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we'll see how long they stay here when times get tough, because they're paying a hell of a lot in state capital gains, income taxes, regulatory fees. Climate is pretty hostile. And they have competitors in places that have about a 20 or 30% cheaper overhead in places like Texas or Florida. We'll see.
Yeah, the picture's pretty grim in California if elections don't turn things around.
That's what I feel about Gavin Newsom. And when they said he's thinking to run for president, I'm thinking, oh my God, Is he serious? What is he going to run on? Is he going to say, I am Gavin Newsom, and I want to do for your city what I did for San Francisco when I was mayor, and I want more homeless on the street, and we can do it. We can get gasoline up to $7 a gallon. We're working on diesel up to $8 to stop carbon emission, and we have brownouts. Just think of it. I made so many subsidized solar and wind initiatives, and I shut down so many power plants that we get to have brownouts, and that forces us to conserve. And we have so many people in the public schools, and we're down now to 45th in national test scores, but we'll get to 50 yet. And we're rated 50 or 49 in infrastructure, and I can get it below Mississippi. I'm working on it.
No, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to count on that collective memory is very short, and people will have no idea of those things, and they'll just look at a pretty face on the camera. And not that I find him attractive myself personally, but I think that on camera he's not repulsive or anything, and well, he'll still run. I bet anything.
We know what he's going to run on. He's going to run about on. I'm going to make California the abortion state. Roe versus Wade doesn't apply. Yeah. It doesn't even affect California's 40 million people. Nobody in the Supreme Court's going to come in here and try to take away California abortion. So the left, and he's running on that. He's running on January 6th. He's running
on, I'll give a lot of entitlements to people. And it worked really well in California.
The only thing he's got to worry about, and I'm not sure we're quite there, is that 40 to 45% of the state still identifies as quote unquote Latino, which is mostly Mexican American. The other 15% identify as Asian. And when you calibrate what's going on in California with this rampant crime wave, and it's directed at Asian in the terms of hate crime, and nobody talks about it, but there are open season on elderly Asian by people in quote unquote marginalized communities. Yeah. Nobody's doing anything about it. And there is basically at the major California universities, with exception of Caltech, probably, there is a racial spoil system bias that discriminates openly against Asians, openly. And then in addition to that, he has pretty much declared war on the Mexican-American upwardly mobile middle classes. If you're a private entrepreneur or a contractor or trucker, whatever it is, when you have to use fuel and building materials, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not just he's warred on them economically, he's warred on them culturally. He's told the Hispanic community, you know, well, abortion's wonderful. And our protesters are in the Catholic diocese that disrupted it in Los Angeles. He didn't say a word. He doesn't say a word about that. And he's pushing down the throat of the Mexican-American population a lot of cultural issues that were sort of to the side before, because he kept saying, I'm the one, the Democratic Party, said, we're the ones that opened the borders. We're the ones that gave you generous federal and state entitlements. We're the ones that appointed people to government. And now what is he going to say? We're the ones that mock your religion. We're the ones that mock your traditional values. That might not have been enough in itself, but what if he adds to that formula, that calculus? We're the ones that mock what you do. We don't think an electrician, we don't think a plumber, we don't think a house painter, we don't think a mechanic, we don't think a long-haul trucker is nearly as important as a coder who lives in an apartment in Menlo Park. That's who we like.
And we don't, government.
We don't want your family value. We don't want somebody whining at us that you have four children and you need an affordable house. You're not going to get an affordable house. Have less children. That's why we have abortion. That's what they're basically saying. And I don't think that's going to be, I think if you had a charismatic, well-versed in California politics, Mexican-American conservative candidate, you could see a revolution in this state. You really could. I talked to a lot of people in my community, my hometown, and 95% of them are Mexican-American. And there's two types. There's the ones that are openly angry, and then there's the ones that don't want to talk about it because they are thinking of voting conservative.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody to know about it. And the Hispanic or Latino community is going to come to an existential crisis because their leadership, and we saw that in these Texas races where these brilliant, young, family-oriented Republican candidates won. but mostly the Hispanic community was sold a bill of goods by the left. It said, all of your representatives will have gone to our schools, our Ivy League. We're all going to get degrees in Chicano studies, sociology, psychology, et cetera. Our teachers, and they're all going to be left wing, and they're all going to do what we want them to do. And as long as they had open borders and entitlements, people bought that. But I don't think that Mexican-American Democratic leadership is any more in touch with who they represent than Nancy Pelosi is. I love that picture. I didn't love it. I thought it was repulsive about when she sort of moved that the daughter of the recently elected
Myra Flores'
daughter. And Myra Flores apparently thought it was deliberate, but Nancy said she was trying to be inclusive.
Yeah, she looked like she elbowed her.
I've seen 1,000 Nancy Pelosi's. When I was a graduate student at Stanford in the 70s, I had a little landscaping truck, and I'd go all these wealthy people and cut their lawn and take out their trash. I liked it. I got good money. I mean, $2.25 an hour then. But I saw them. I saw that Nancy Pelosi archetype. Yeah. And the way that she pushed that little girl is a way that that they say, oh, Herlinda, I'm going to give you some shoes, or I have an extra coat I want you to have, and then they throw it out in the lawn in a box or something. Yeah. And it's this weird condescending.
Absolutely. Like they're angels for giving them something so they were going to throw away anyway.
Yeah. Right? We'll see how good a politician is, because Gavin Newsom was not seriously challenged by Larry Elder. Not that Larry Elder isn't a great guy, but the Republicans were divided. They had no time. The recall itself was problematic.
Yeah.
But if he continues to incite the Mexican-American community as he's doing, it's unpredictable what's going to happen. There are some astute Democratic strategists who, if you read now and then, they're starting to see it. Somebody like Joel Kotkin, who's very, very smart. He's an urban geographer. He's starting to write about it. This is not sustainable. Steve Hayward, who's really great at Powerline, of course, is great. All of the writers are great. They post things about California. So there are people who are voices in the wilderness, and they're saying, this is an abjectly bankrupt leadership, and this ideology is not sustainable. And you have no idea what you did to California. You've got 21% of the people living below the poverty line. You got more homeless than any other state. You got a third of all the welfare recipients in your state. You don't have any housing. You got the highest per square foot cost of any place in the continental United States. You have the highest gas tax. You have the highest gas. You have warred on the middle class. And there has to be an accounting, unless the middle class is just doped up.
Yeah. Well, maybe the winds of change are coming, Victor. I hope so.
I pray so.
On that note, we're going to call it a day. Time is up. Thank you so much, Victor, for all of your wisdom today. And I'm as angry as you are about all of that stuff as well.
Well, I'm trying to channel that anger. Maybe it's COVID fuel. I don't know. I just saw that brain fog is one of their... I just read an article that said, brain fog, a new symptom of... I said, new? How about the symptom? Anyway,
all right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
This is Sammy Wink and Victor Davis Hanson, and we're signing off.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, cool,
or attending one live,
no!
You can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary. Not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.